This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account. We're member-owned and offer all the services you're looking for, like mobile banking and free ATM withdrawals. Visit our website at pfcu.com. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Presented by the Law Offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is a special edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc Krause and John Dougherty.
And welcome everyone into hour number two, the John Dougherty Hour, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Good opening hour, double shot of live programming from the Labor Show tonight. J. Doc, good opening hour number one, and a good lineup here for hour number two. Before we bring in our gracious host, John Dougherty, I'll come to you. I don't want to give you too much time, but let me come to you for your introduction.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a great show, Joe. Great show, and Jim Snell, of course, business manager of Steam Fitter Circle 420, Wayne Miller, and Don Sweeten of the Sprinkler Fitters Union, and we're going to close out with Pastor Buddy Osborne. But first, we're going to start off. Obviously, the mayor had a rough and an emotional week this week with the shooting of the two police officers at Welcome America. Obviously, it's been, the press has been on them, and a lot of our local politicians have also piled on. And so as we bring John into the broadcast, I know that this has been a difficult week for everybody after that. I'd like you to weigh in on that, if you would, John.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting conversation because week after week, I usually defend the mayor. But on issues like guns and especially after, mass shootings, I've always been an advocate of, one way or the other, either you take the guns off the street or you give everybody guns. And people said to me, well, that's crazy. I said, I know, but having AK-47s are crazy too. But, when the villains are, outpowering the police officers, that's a problem. Right. That's always been a conversation. But my perspective, and I hear it all the time, like if after this show tonight, I'll get 8 to 10 emails while we're doing the show from all different people. Then I'll get 8 to 10 emails from some of the regular critics of the TV show. Then I'll get, if we touch somebody tonight, we'll get another. So I legitimately get about 20, 25 text messages, emails, files. But I always get 3 or 4. And they're not people who are natural haters. They're people who are friends of mine. We grew up in the same neighborhood. We went to the same church and that just have, a disagreement with, Jim's, Mayor Kenny's, far to the left type of mentality. But what I've always told them, they grew up with him. They knew him. That's why they're frustrated by him. But his position has always been the same. I knew that when I supported him. Okay, I didn't support him because at the time, now this is out of control. Guns are out of control. Crime is out of control. It's not just here. It's every big city. I mean, Chicago, New York, and again, I always tell people taxes and noise and traffic are good for us in our world. That usually means there's development. Okay, now my job, for most of my life was the business manager of IBEW Local 98. And then I was lucky enough in the later years to be the business manager of the Philadelphia Building Trades. And I have been consistent with trying to get things done. And I have to let you know, I'm a gigantic Ed Randell fan. I'm a gigantic John Street fan. Okay? I had relationships with Mayor Good, a better relationship with him after he left the office. Okay? Michael Nutter and myself, we got along. We didn't get along. When it came to the good of the city, we were together. He had a different, philosophical slash political you know, mentality than I have when it came to construction. But nobody, you know, Randell was hit the ground running, all kind of America's mayor, you know, big ticket items, you know, convention centers, things like that. John Street, I was his chairman at the Redevelopment Authority. We ran his neighborhood initiative through there. And we did the convention center expansion through there. Okay, but no one has put up more cranes or put more construction in places that were not addressed for decades than this mayor. Okay, you look at the waterfront. We had no, in fact, we were the laughing stock of every place that came into town, could not believe our waterfront consisted of, you know, an ice skating rink, a Ferris wheel, and a whole bunch of hammocks. Okay? So now we have all type of development. You have residential development. You have a re-energized restaurant there. You got cranes, everything going up all over the place. And, yeah, you're in the process of doing something with I-95, which will then connect this most recent development at the waterfront back to the neighborhoods, which people have been crying for. Take a look at the Navy Yard. It's amazing. Can't give all that credit to Mayor Kenny, but I've been pushing for a subway for longer than anybody, okay? A decade now, okay? We had to get things passed in the Republican-controlled Senate, the banking bill, which we did, that went way back to Senator Toomey's early days. So all our efforts to get things done were bipartisan, just not. But this mayor, and I'll give you a site-specific, this most recent development that's been getting a ton of ink, the ensemble. I got a call from this mayor, said, hey, listen, I just want to let you know. He said, this is being tied up, he said, in a friendly type of tie-up by our governor. Our governor was tying it up because he was at crossways between the Philadelphia Port and the economic development of the Navy Yard. And he didn't want to give away a lot of environment because they weren't sure what was going to happen with their refinery. So it was my job to get to the governor and validate the mayor's concerns. You know, we had people who had competing interests that sat both in the board world and in the construction industry. And they needed someone like myself who wasn't afraid to talk about that, okay, but who got in the middle of it. And sure as heck, we were able within a week, okay, to get this resolved in a political way. Then PIDC went to work and did their wide open, transparent, you know, RFP process. Then we picked up Ensemble. And next thing you know, they won the RFP, I think they picked up another $400 million worth of property there or land down there. And the people who finished second, okay, who are really good, you know, people too, they jumped in and started working the pharmaceutical industry. This all happened because of the mayor or the mayor's appointments. So when we sit here and the mayor, and by the way, I'll give you two things that people have to understand, that because he is not, you know, someone who, you know, runs to the media, okay, two things you need to understand. One, in political polling, he still polls as high or higher than anybody in this region and in the suburbs. The soccer moms really like him. Whatever reason, they polls well. I think a little bit has to do with even though he's got a career of politics behind him, he's been honest and open. Even this week, I would not have done what he did, but that's him. Okay? He came down. It was 2 in the morning. You know, I'm not going to say he had a beer or two with him, but it was a holiday weekend. He was out. He rushed there. And then somebody kept asking him, what the hell is going on? And he said, look, this is, you know, every night I lay there, you know, I can't enjoy this. Well, I have days like that too. And I had days like that at Local 98. And I'm most definitely not a punk, and I don't consider him a punk. And most of the people who have been screaming at him, okay, have been in this game for 20 years. Okay, so they can't scream about anything that he did because they were part of it. And then if you take a look, which is the most significant piece that no one ever pays attention to, is how you financially. Local 98, my greatest accomplishment when I left, was I left them with the number one set of assets in America, Canada, and Puerto Rico, and the least amount of debt. Okay? This mayor just had the bond rating for the city of Philadelphia go from A minus to A, which is worth a ton of money. And he knows about that because when John Street took over as council president and Ed Rendell wanted to change, you know, Jimmy was the council appointment, okay, at with a deal with all the rating agencies. So it's something that he just not doesn't do by accident and somebody else doesn't do for him. So you don't have to like him. You don't have to appreciate him. From our perspective, from my perspective, we could not have asked more from him. Thank you.
Live here on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get to a commercial break. We'll pick it back up on the other side. This is the John Dougherty Hour. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by IBEW Local 98 North, UFCW Local 1776, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, DC-21.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here live on the John Dougherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Jim Snell will join us in just a moment. Good opening remarks from John Dougherty tonight on Mayor Jim Kenney. If anybody in this city knows better than you, John, tell me who they are. Don't worry or don't listen to what people say. Be confident in who you are. And that's who you are. So I appreciate the comments opening up the John Dougherty Hour. Jim Snell is going to join us in just a moment, the business manager of Steam Fitters Local 420. J-Doc, I know you'll be interested in the conversation. There was a recent decision, as you know, we talked about it on the Labor and Energy Show from the U.S. Supreme Court that severely restricted the EPA's ability to mandate carbon emission standards. We'll talk to Jimmy in just a moment about that.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal in West Virginia. And certainly, you know, the unions that are in the petrochemical industry, it impacts them, but it impacts all Americans. And you know, we talk about it all the time. We're all environmentalists. That's a fact. Okay. Doesn't mean that we want to shoot ourselves in the foot or deplete ourselves completely in order to do it. So, yeah, it was a groundbreaking decision with the Supreme Court ruling, if you will. And, yeah, I can't wait to hear what Jim Snell's got to say about it.
All right, good stuff. We're going to get Jimmy Snell on to the program. By the way, coming up on 35, Wayne Miller and Don Sweeten will join us, and then Buddy Osborne will wrap us up here on the John Dougherty Hour. Let me come back to John Dougherty as we wait and effort and get your opinion, John, on that ruling. We'll get Jim Snell's point of view on it, but we've been talking about it. We've been had many discussions, John, on this show. It's a good win. It's a good win for the Boilermakers. It's a good win for the Steam Fitters. It's a good win for the union community all the way around.
Yo.
You there, brother?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, good, good, man.
For some reason.
Yeah, no worries, man. Yeah, we're waiting to get Jim Snell onto the program, but I did want to get your just your thoughts on what we're going to talk to Jim about, which is that Supreme Court decision to restrict the EPA's ability to mandate carbon emissions, a win for the steam fitters, a win for the boilermakers, I think a win for unions in general.
Yeah, well, Jimmy will be able to talk about it, you know, a lot easier. But again, this is Jim Snell, you know, Anthony Gallagher prior to him, the UA across the country, the Boilermaker. Okay, it's just amazing the work they've done, okay, to try to create a safe petroleum / you know, energy market. And they've been lobbying this, and it they said, you know, I mean, they get a lot of heat, okay, for being bipartisan, a labor union. They've supported, especially Jimmy, has supported some people in the last few years, or at least questioned some of the homegrown talent, some of the Democrats, they have been around a while, you know, on their energy positions. And again, most people in politics, they do what the polls say. And what I mean by that is, even if they had a position, you know, and it doesn't have to be some of the significant ones over years, like, you know, choice and things like that, schools, you know, they have modernized them to whatever. So Jimmy's had his hands full. He's done a great job. Okay. I mean, you know, LNG, the export terminal in Chester, you know, becomes more of a possibility, you know, today than it was yesterday, in my opinion, based on the conversation. You know, the Supreme Court, you know, it for the chemical industry, it has short-term and long-term consequences. You know, some of these things they're selling off, people will start to think about, you know, if there's a possibility that they'll be able to do something with them. Long-term, you know, there was an article on NPR, which, you know, and our crackerjack assistant, Frank Keel, who, by the way, let's get a big shout-out to Frank. He's had a couple issues lately. You know, that's that old Irish issue called diabetes. You know, my dad had it, my grandfather had it, and, you know, he's had some issues with that. You got it. And, but he has done a great job. And we were talking about the NPR article, okay, about climate change, and the Supreme Court is probably explains it as well as anybody. So, you know, it's on www.npr.org, 2022-6-30. That's the article you want to read, and that gives you a better explanation. But Jimmy and them have been fighting, you know, and saying that you can't control the industry. The refineries that they've been putting in play have been, you know, about as clean energy as humanly possible. You know, people don't understand that eventually they're starting to get a peak that, you know, people in some of our Germany and places like that, they're popping open coal plants again.
Yep.
Okay, because of the Russian control over there of oil, which everybody predicted, they're back to coal. And nothing's, you know, if you want to basically go from 1 to 10, you know, out of all, you know, places we work, coal probably has as much effect on climate as anything. And people are scared to death of the word nuclear, but that's probably the future. And I've talked about that multiple times, you know, and if done right, you know, yeah, everybody gets in their oil, supposedly takes a well. Look, you know, we're not supposed to be waking up every day worried about who's going to invade your country. You know, it's just in the last 3-4 years, it's just the world has changed drastically on every way. But for us, the future is probably nuclear energy. You know, and we had a good partner in PECO, and, you know, the places like Limerick where we work, you know, we do a wonderful job. The skill sets of the building trades people that go up there are second to none. Another place we worked all through the COVID. Okay, we worked all the time, bringing that back online, cleaning it up, making sure it's safe for the people in the world. Okay, so, you know, Jimmy has his hands full. He's done a great job. He's lobbied on behalf of all these, you know, refineries and, you know, and some of the things he's campaigning for, like the LNG export terminals, you know, are when they do deliver, they're going to create jobs for people for years to come, and people aren't going to be any more harmed by it than they are today.
And, John, you make a great point. You know, the Jimmy and John Land, boilermakers, steam fitters, they have heavy workforce in these refineries. But the most important thing also is they also care about the environment, and they're educated on the issues. They understand the details, okay? And we can do it better than anybody in the world. We can do it cleaner and safer. One of the things, and they know it, okay? And so it is an odd political sort of situation because typically speaking, you know, a lot of the Dems, you know, want to shut their plants down and their workforce and all that stuff. I personally believe that a lot of politicians don't really understand the actual details of energy, all, you know, all the details. And so I think people are misguided by a loud-speaking far left. I think we can all do it together. And remember one thing. This is extremely important. America is the carbon footprint of the world and emissions. America is only 13% of that, okay? The rest of the world is 87%. We're shutting ourselves down completely, and at the end of the day, we're 87% of the world, you know, I get it, the Paris Accord and all, but I'm just saying, you know, we're, in the next 30 years, our energy consumption is going to go up 50%. That's going to be mostly in Asia, and areas where we can't control. So we have to do the right thing and be smart and be educated. And guys like Jim Snell and John Bland, nobody understands these issues more than them. And I can't wait till we're all on the same page because we all care about the
world. Joe, let me tell you this, okay? Now, the good news of being old, okay, and having a lot of experience behind you, mm-hmm. is that I've sat in classes ran by people from Cornell. I've sat in Harvard think tanks. I dealt with the people from University of Pennsylvania all the time. I've sat on national chamber board meetings. I've sat in Washington, D.C. with some of the smartest people over the years. Okay? Not one of them meetings, okay, was more impressive than my monthly Philadelphia building trade meetings. And people say, you're out of your mind. What are you drinking today? Things like that. I'm telling you, I sat with them all. Okay? The people from Cornell, they had an understanding when we were doing the salting and peppering stuff way back in 90, 93, 96. Okay? They had a great understanding of the law. They understood how far we could go. We put the things in play that actually made Congress take a look at how you affect that. I can move all the way up until when we were going from, you know, fully insured to self-insured. You know, look, I do my own deals. I didn't hire any brokers. When I got personal choice with no increases for multiple years in a row. Okay? I know what my members want. I know how to negotiate. Okay, that's what we do. And I'm going to tell you, in the piece I mentioned about, you know, rest his soul, you know, Bob Heenan, yep. this week, I talked about who I started with. These were the guys who were running the national meetings now. So Philadelphia is lucky. And the people who don't like the union movement, it comes down to economics. They don't like paying that 40% called benefits and taxes. Okay? But the people who run these unions, Jimmy Snell wasn't just an energy guy. When the data bill had needed to get passed, and a threesome of Crawford, Kelly, and Keller and Udichek were leading the fight all through, you know, Commonwealth, because there was a tremendous amount of work out there, and all we needed to do was change a little bit of the tax code. I know, and labor leaders shouldn't be talking about the tax code. We should, when it competes with Virginia for $17 billion worth of high-ended, high-technology work. And again, Keller, Crawford, and Udichek, and a little guy by the name of Jim Snell, they were doing that. They got it passed. We're in the process. The first project will be $2 billion. So Jimmy Snell, John Bland, Wayne Miller, they're CEOs, man, as well much as business managers.
Absolutely.
John Dougherty Hour. John Dougherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get to a commercial break. On the other side, Wayne Miller and Don Sweeten. And we still continue to effort Jimmy Snell back in a moment.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners.
This edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Laborers District Council, Steam Fitters Local 420, and the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 542.
And working through hour number two of the John Dougherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Let me set the table for John, for J-Doc, and for the listening audience. So our effort to get Jim Snell into the conversation, we've had success, but we're going to move Jim Snell to further ahead in the hour. Wayne Miller is going to join us, and Don Sweeten is going to join us. J-Doc, we'll bring Wayne and Don into the conversation with John. Then we'll get to a break. Buddy Osborne's going to join us, and Jim Snell's going to join us, and we're going to do all of that before we get to the top of the hour. So with that in mind, J-Doc, you're going to be short-winded. You're not going to speak in paragraphs. And we're going to bring Wayne and Don in. They have an important discussion as well.
Awesome. all right, guys, we got about 10 minutes. I'm just kidding. First of all, Wayne and Don, welcome to the broadcast, gentlemen.
Hey, Joe, how you doing? Joe and Joe and Don, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great, and so no small talk, I guess. Having said that, you got going on in your world, the Sprinkler Fitters world, and we're ecstatic to have you both on the program. I want to start off, and we're going to kind of spit fire here before we bring John Dougherty into the program. But guys, Congresswoman Madeline Dean just recently introduced a federal bill that would mandate that all new federal housing construction made are include hardwired smoke detector systems, and also require that the previously constructed units have sealed tamper-resistant alarms with 10-year batteries. Thoughts on that, Wayne and Don?
Yeah, I'll take it first, Don. The thing is that I think it's a great bill. And you're going to say, why do you say that? I say, first of all the hard wires that are smoke detectors, there's no battery, so they can't. Nobody can remove batteries and stuff to disarm them. And they're constantly working as long as the electricity's on. And that's better known by Doc than me. But if the thing is that in lieu of sprinklers, the next safest thing is having an alarm to notify people to get out of the building. And again, I think it's a great thing. It's less expensive than putting in sprinkler systems. But we also have a number of bills in the Appropriations Committee in the government to also put money out to sprinkle these public housing units. And I think that will go a long way. But in the meantime, this is the safest thing besides sprinklers that you can do. And I think it's a great bill that got that Madeline Dean, Congressman Dean, introduced. And I think it'll help save a lot of lives.
And let me just go to Don for a follow-up. Don, we all know what happened in Fairmount with that entire family.
Yes.
Don, and one of the problems there was the smoke alarms were not hardwired, okay? Plenty of them in there that were with no batteries in them, the whole deal, which so many people, not only low-income families, have that situation happen. Talk about the importance of the bill in regards to that, having the hardwired.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. The batteries in those things were removed. They were tampered. There was no notification. Hard wiring, that will also come with another side. If it is manipulated or tampered, it would send a trouble signal, that they're not active. So you would have that warning in when there is no event. But when there's an event, these systems have to work. Sprinkler systems, fire alarms, they have to work. And in this case, this just raises that bar to get notification to the people to get out. And that's their main goal of a notification, is to get the occupants out of the building, and a little more advanced will notify the fire department automatically.
Absolutely. John Dougherty, if you will.
Well, wait, look, again, it's Wayne and Don. Thank you for popping in. I know, Saturdays during the summer, it'll become more difficult, but you guys are always there. It just shows the importance of this issue. You heard what I said earlier, I'll put, and Wayne, and it's funny, I know Don, but not like I know Wayne. And Wayne has sat next to me at all these meetings with professors from Cornell, people from Penn, Harvard, greater chambers across the country, international meetings. Wayne is one of the guys who actually, makes decisions for his international grievance hearings and investments. He's right up there. These guys know their business. They know how to get things done. It's funny, though, these issues that we're talking about, and Wayne, I haven't had a chance to catch up with Wayne lately, but, in my new life, trying to just make sure Sealy and my other world is, I don't miss anything. I've been helping a couple people, in the professional world, more than the labor world, believe it or not. And one of their hot topics right now, and I sat down with a series of people in the last couple of weeks, they're all owners, developers, and future owners and future developers. And a lot of people come to Philly. Like I said, we talk about, the work product. Nobody has any concerns with doing anything with the new stuff. It's always the existing. And it's funny, there's probably going to be 3 to 4 open city council seats. Okay? And the 3 to 4 council seats, this group of people have decided that they need to be involved. And they were picking my brain, not anything that would be in conflict with anything that I did my whole life, because I couldn't do that. But the conversation that they had starts off with tax abatements, works its way through a series of issues, and they get completely flustered because they think that when they get asked the mandate, these safety changes, that they have to pay for themselves. And it's funny that that was not point number one, not point number two, not point number three, but I think it was point number four, you know, mandates. It was just some tin knocker slash, you know, some multi-trades when they did some servicing of the handling units, just legislated through city government. It happens where you need to basically have a sheet metal worker, you know, and that a boy to Gary Messino and his political operation for being able to get something like that through. Okay. But they are concerned about these things and they're saying, hey, listen, you know, there's how do we pay for them? Okay. The new construction is not an issue. They tie it into the finance and in the packages, the other stuff. So Wayne has done a great job and he's in conversation on these changes with not only people that you would think naturally are going to cut costs, but he's in conversation with people who were his long-term friends and trying to say, hey, we need to get this done. We need to get it done together. And he's done it to a point where I don't know any place else in the country where this conversation is not only consistent, but now in law, you know, or at least in the process of law. I happened to bump into Matt on Dean most recently at Bob Heenan's mass, funeral mass, you know, and again, rest his soul, but Madeline couldn't have been nicer, you know, and I was joking. And in our exchange, I said, yo, make sure you're taking care of the guys, you know, and she laughed. She said, I'm working with Wayne. I'm working with TJ. I'm working with all these guys. So, you know, so everybody, this bill, this environment is on the tip of everybody's tongue. And just like Jimmy Snell and John Bland and them guys have done a fabulous job, Wayne, I just want him to know that his years of screaming, you know, have went to the benefit of his members. I mean, he's done a great job for his people.
Wayne Miller.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Doc. But to get, you know, our main thing for yourself, myself and every other labor leader is for what's good of the people in the city of Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. And the thing is that there's no new legislation out in Norristown. And in Norristown, they're looking to any residential or rental property over 3 units to be sprinkled. That's a great thing. And it gives people a chance to, you know, if that passes and it comes in off of a very low amount of money to put a sprinkler system into these units. And it would save a lot of lives. And that's the main thing. And TJ out there in Norristown, who I think he's the president of the council, is doing a fantastic job in bringing things to better his community and through all of us helping out. And it's a good program that he's looking at.
That's better known as Tom LaPera, the president of Norristown City Council, a young business agent for Local 98 North, who I had the pleasure of selecting. He's got a really bright future, not only in the union movement, but in the political movement. He makes people nervous. Even some of his peers out there think he's moving a little too quick, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what.
Great job, Doc.
And Wayne, what's amazing, and Don, you know, come to you. You're in the life-saving business, okay? You're in the fire, you know, prevention business, if you will, sprinklers. You know, we're talking about, I know there's, they're also fighting for more sprinkler systems in multifamily units in Philadelphia.
Right.
I asked Don, where does that effort stand?
So let me just start here. So in 1999, you know, the Meridian fire tragically happened in 1991. In 1999, you know, since the completion of retrofitting all commercial high-rise buildings in the city of Philadelphia, there has not been one death in a commercially sprinkled building in high-rise due to fire. And so it's zero. Now, you know, so sprinklers work. And what we're fighting here is, and the most recent bill in Norristown is the rental properties. And the reason is you have these Airbnbs, these people coming in. They're just not as responsible with their activities in their homes because it's not their home. And, you know, so 85% of all fire deaths occur in residential settings. People don't realize that. They reduce property damage. They help with insurance premiums. A fire, it becomes deadly in less than 3 minutes, as Wayne has said before. Mm-hmm. The fire department can be right next door. And, you know, they're just not – it's very difficult to get into these buildings because flashover in a modern home, it occurs 8 times faster than a home 50 years ago. And the reason is a lot of the structure, the components, the furniture, the TVs, the products that they make everything out of today is a lot more flammable. So, you know, the sprinklers work. The past has proven they work. It just comes down to, at the end of the day, people are putting dollars over lives.
Wayne Miller and Don Sweeten joining us here on the John Dougherty Hour. We'll get to what will be our final break. On the other side, Buddy Osborne and Jim Snow will listen in as well. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, Roofers Local 30, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor.
Final segment of the John Dougherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, along with John Dougherty and, of course, J Doc. I'm Joe Krause. We bring in Pastor Buddy Osborne, founder of Rock Ministries in Kensington. He's going to join us. Jim Snell is going to jump in and listen in to our conversation, and we'll work Jimmy in, J Doc, before we get out of here. Fast moving final 30 minutes of the last show.
No question about it, and I want to welcome Buddy into the program, and of course Jimmy as well. Great friends, Buddy. We've talked about it many times. You're on the front lines down there, and dealing with, you're in the face of addiction, right on the avenue there, fighting a good fight every day, trying to save lives. If you would give us a little update on Rock Ministries and your efforts to reclaim the lives of the people in the throes of addiction.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. It's a blessing to be on the show tonight. I'm honored. And as you said, Doc, we just it's a lot going on down there right now. It's a very dark, dismal. But you know what? I'm a dealer now. Now I turn into a dealer. I'm a dealer of hope. And so that's what we're doing. I think we're averaging about 100 people a month. We're getting off the street into detox and into the appropriate treatments that they need. You know. And one of the things, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that we're struggling with is that there's no more, you know, there's no more dope. There's no more pure heroin. They would come to Kensington for years to get the purest heroin. There's not one bag of heroin that you can buy down there. It's called Trank, and it's 100 times more powerful than morphine, and it's almost like it's like an elephant tranquilizer. It's so powerful, and we're losing a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
So, but we're on the front lines, but one of the greatest things I think that's taking place now. I mean, we're down there for the kids too, you know. And that's, their eyes are not designed; they weren't created to see what they see. So, this recently, 3 weeks ago, we made settlement on a building, and it's the oldest boxing venue in America from 1917 to 1963. More world champions and contenders come out of there than anywhere in the country. So we now have a possession of it, and we're just excited. We're going to turn it into a youth center for the kids down there, you know. So they have a place, a 24/7 place where they can come and have a safe refuge. We've had like thousands of kids come off the street through boxing and combat sports, but we're missing a lot. So now this is going to be like every kind of game you can imagine, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be fun. So that's kind of the highlight of what's happening lately.
Awesome. And that number, 100, John Dougherty, 100 individuals a month getting off the street and into detox and rehabilitation is just phenomenal.
Well, look, I love Buddy, and I've eaten with his chaplain team, and I've heard them numbers many times before, and I've talked about them numbers. But what he just said is something that is really good for us as a Philadelphia Building Trades. Okay, and I know Ryan and everybody will, you know, most definitely be involved with it. And I know, especially in the honor of Bobby Heenan, who was a gigantic Rock Ministries fan. Okay?
Mm.
What happens here is Buddy is talking about opening up something where you teach people athletics, and you need people like the trades, their coaches, their mentors, that you understand. Not everyone in the building trades, okay, knows how to talk somebody off a ledge, okay, because they're ready to kill themselves because they're, you know, they spend all their money on drugs. Not everybody down there knows how to get a guy into a rehabilitation center. So what we usually do when we go down there is we always ask, buddy, where do you need us at? But his new venture is tailor-fit for a partnership with the Philadelphia Building Trades and Ryan and all the other guys because, again, it's something that they do every day in their own neighborhoods. You know, they teach kids how to play baseball. They teach kids how to play basketball. They teach kids how to play chess. They teach kids how to box. And Buddy's good at that. And they also, the other thing that the trades have, you know, when we work, everybody benefits. Okay, because the trades are more than generous. It's almost a way of life. You know, if there's extra money there, you know, I know Local 98, you know, in the most recent weekend, they just sponsored, you know, a baseball game for kids who are blind. I mean, that sounds crazy, but there's avenues for everybody to get out there. So, you know, Buddy's new venture will be great.
And, John, I want to bring in Jimmy Snell real quick. Jim, first of all, I know you only, we only got a minute or so left, but I know you're passionate about this. We'll get into the conversation.
We're just glad Jim Snell is joining the show, right. Which is great to bring him in Jimmy. Thank you. And, Buddy, don't go anywhere. Stay there because I'm going to come back to you to wrap us up. But, Jimmy, it's great to hear you're on the show, brother.
Listen, I really appreciate you guys having me on. And, you know, once again, it's an honor to join my friend John and you know, you fellas and, you know, just be a part of this thing. We appreciate the platform you guys give us every week.
And Jimmy, and what Buddy said, the miracles that they're creating, that they're down there and the lives they're saving as a part of the building trades and somebody who supports it, it's got to make you feel great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, to follow up a guy like Buddy right now, it's just it's an honor. But, I mean, once again, I tell everybody, the guy's a living saint. We all know it, you know, and that's the hero right there, Buddy Osborne. You know, that's he's up against it, and thank God for people like Buddy Osborne. That's for sure.
Yeah, well done. Absolutely. Well said, Jim Snell. We're sorry we missed you in the first half hour of the show tonight, but we will re-rack that conversation perhaps as early as next week. This, of course, is the John Dougherty Hour. Buddy, I want to come back to you before we close out the show, before we close out the John Dougherty Hour tonight. I know you had some words for John and a blessing for him and for all of us. Let me come back to you, and then John Dougherty, I'll give you last word before we say goodbye tonight.
Well, you know, it's always an honor to be with Johnny. I love him more than he'll ever know, and just grateful for his friendship over the years. And I look forward to change in his office, and he knows what I'm talking about. He's going to be down here with me one day. So, but I would like to. One of the things that I love about John, he implemented prayer at the trades, and whenever we have a meeting, you know, you got all these men, labor leaders, and we started off with prayer, and it's just been a blessing for all of us, especially for myself. I'm honored to do that. So that's what I'd like to do if I could, you know, just close in prayer. Would that be okay, guys?
Yeah, we're good, man. You got it.
Yes. So Lord, we thank you, you know, for your mercy and for your grace in our lives. You love each of us unconditionally. And when we lean on you, there's tremendous guidance and there's strength. Lord, I pray for Johnny Dock and his legal team as they prepare to see him vindicated. We also pray, Lord, for Celie, Lord, during these trying times for our family. May you grant them the peace that surpasses all understanding. And may you continue to show up in their lives in a supernatural way. Lord God, we give you all the honor and all the glory, all the days of our lives. Let us never lose hope in you. Amen.
John Dougherty Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. John, got 30 seconds for you, my friend. Buddy, well stated.
That's why I love this radio show. Jimmy Snell calls in. He knows he only has 10 seconds. He calls in. Okay, this show starts off with me defending Mayor Kenny, ends with Buddy saying a prayer. Now you know why people can't stand us at the building trades? We dance our own tune, and we pay for it. Okay?
Yeah, right.
I love the Philadelphia building trades. I love you guys. Everybody knows I love Buddy. And there we go again. I'm telling everybody I love them. Okay? Thank
you.
Love
you too, John.
Enjoy. See you guys.
All right, good stuff. That's going to do it for this edition of the John Dougherty Hour. On behalf of John Dougherty, our gracious host, on behalf of J-Doc, and, of course, on behalf of all of our guests from the show this evening, and Frank Keel getting it done, despite battling on his end as well, getting it done and putting a good show together. That's going to do it for this edition. Until next time, I'm Joe Krause. Believe in hope, everyone.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.